Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. I want an update on button pushing from John Townsend right after this. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
You guys have been just terrific. I just wouldn't even have made any of these steps without having a program.
Well, poor little victim boy here is going to have to face the reality of what he's done.
Now, that does sound goofy to me.
He feels like that this is in between him and God. Again, it's just not the God of the Bible.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live, and we're glad that you've joined us. And with me right now, Dr. John Townsend. Hey, John.
Hey, Steve.
We are all still recovering from our Dallas experience.
What a great time.
We really did have a great time. Met so many wonderful people there. I loved it.
You know, what I liked was the kind of interactions with people while we're, you know, saying howdy and signing books and stuff like that. And just a great bunch of people who are really into growth and really into, you know, wanting to be real and find the next step.
When you're in Texas, you say howdy.
Yes, you do say howdy.
When you're in Dallas, we were all saying howdy there. It was a great group of folks, and I read all the evaluations. And once again, people just love this event, and so many people talking about life-changing things that were said, transformational things, and it was fun reading some of the people. They didn't just evaluate the speakers, they evaluated the talks, you know, and so, you know, we would get you were asleep in this talk, and then you set me on fire the other one. Just interesting people's different perspectives. Hey, Henry, how are you?
Hey, guys.
You cured my insomnia.
Yeah, that can't wait. You caused insomnia.
There's no way that people slept through Steve's talk, though.
On Zacchaeus?
There's no way.
Hey,
everybody's laughing too hard.
All right, I said we were going to get an update on button pushing. John, in dealing with all this and talking with people, what's the most common button that gets pushed that you run into?
Can I get two?
Well, I'd really prefer, no, sure.
Regis, can I have two?
Yeah. Two for 20.
Probably they are. One is for the other person to understand your feelings. Where the other person doesn't or refuses to or doesn't have a lot of interest in it, that really pushes our buttons because we all need to at least know that the person's trying to find out how we feel about something.
Yeah.
And the second one is helplessness. When you'd like for a situation to change, you know, somebody to stop drinking or somebody to be less critical or more responsible, and they don't have a lot of interest in it, you feel like, what am I doing? I mean, I can't make any choices to make things better.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I wrote the book.
Well, I was thinking the other day that there's love language and then there's button language. And, you know, you try to learn what is a person's love language and you speak that and everything. But a lot of people, they don't care about that. They just know your button language. They know what it takes to get you set off there.
Here's my favorite. You always.
You always.
Yeah, you go a long way with that one.
Yeah. Is that always your favorite?
Okay, Henry, let me ask you about your new book, 9 Things You Simply, Absolutely, Positively Must Know to Succeed in Love and Life.
No, you must do.
Must do.
You can know them and not do them, and then you're a loser.
Tell us the number one thing or your favorite of the 9 that you like as you're teaching that book.
My favorite. Oh, that's hard.
You can have
the
two.
The one about potato chips.
I guess my favorite would be to act like the ant.
Act like the ant?
Yep.
That came from your study of the ant farm?
Which came from my study of Proverbs. Mm. Which came from my paralysis when I was a graduate student of having to finish what seemed like an impossible task of writing a dissertation. I didn't know how to do that. But I learned that it's like every other task that everybody has to do to accomplish something, and there is a principle that absolutely makes it work, and if you don't do it, you won't.
And that comes from the ant. All right, we're going to be back right after this. 1-800-229-3000.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I found out 4.5 months into my marriage that my husband has a sexual addiction. I signed up for Women in the Battle.
The Women in the Battle workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues.
When I got to Women in the Battle, it was the first time I'd actually met face-to-face with people that had been through it.
Join Dr. Sherry Keffer June 24th through the 26th in Dallas, Texas.
The beautiful thing about Women in the Battle is it stopped the bleeding, I guess you could say, because I got to tell my story. I felt validated, and the therapists, they understood because they'd been there themselves.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It's invaluable. I figured that I saved myself thousands of dollars in therapy back at home by going to that workshop.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here. We're live in the studio today, 1-800-229-3000 with Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend. We've got free tips, 12 steps of awareness on the path of spiritual growth. That's the longest title of tips we've ever had. We think you'll enjoy it once you get through the title, 12 steps of awareness on the path of spiritual growth. And then our resource, Finishing Well, by Bob Buford. It is a book of wisdom from some of the great leaders of our day. Yes, sir? What are you thinking?
Well, I was just thinking, it is the kind of book like you have to finish, right?
What's that?
Well, think about it.
Finishing Well?
If you're reading a book called Finishing Well, you like get halfway through it.
Yeah, I never finished.
Never finished. So you have to finish it.
You better.
And Bob's a good guy, so you should finish it.
He is a good guy. Let's go to David calling from Pomona. David listens, I'm sure, to KKLA or something like that. Hello there.
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I've had, my question is that I have this problem since I was about 11 years old. I was exposed to pornography.
Okay.
And I've done some work. I've read your book, Every Man's Battle.
We're listening.
The problem I have is eliminating it completely from my life. I have moments of weakness.
What are you doing to eliminate it?
I try not to think about it, try to focus on other things.
So you're kind of depending on your ability to do that?
Right now I am, yes.
Well, that's natural, and that's a good thing to try to do. The problem is, it doesn't work, and you're not bad for that. In fact, it's what the Bible affirms, that, you know, in and of ourselves, you know, we're kind of unable to change ourselves. And willpower, it was, when we understand that willpower is the failure of the human race, if you go back to Genesis 3, you see the beginning of the will gone bad. And broken, and ever since then it's been a story of why just trying to choose to do something won't work. It's a story of every New Year's resolution and every kind of recommitment and everybody going down the aisle 46 times and say they're going to be different, which, you know, we all do.
Yep.
And what we miss is the rest of the story the Bible tells, which is getting all of God's resources in place that actually can help you, but it's going to come from the outside.
See, have you ever chosen to ask God to deliver you from it or heal you from it?
I've asked. I mean,
yeah? Okay, that's a good thing. And you've also chosen to try harder.
Yeah.
That's your willpower. But there are so many other choices that Henry's talking about. The choice to humble yourself and ask for professional help.
Mm-hmm.
The choice to get involved in a support group. The choice to go to the Every Man's Battle workshop. The choice to feel the pain you're feeling when you want to go online and do pornography versus go experience pornography and have sex with yourself and feel relief and then feel guilty and go through that whole cycle. You've got a lot of choices you have not made if you really do want to get over this thing.
I think one of my problems is that I minimize the problem because I don't see myself as like a hardcore addict. I don't rent movies. I don't watch videos. I don't go on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are different levels of something we can't control, David. But the fact is, even though you're not as bad as a lot of other people who are struggling, it's beyond you. And, you know, you've kind of proven that with your own attempts. And so I wouldn't use that. I mean, I would recognize the minimization basically is as some kind of way to stay into willpower. What I would like to know is who knows about this that you confide in?
I've talked to my wife and my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good start.
How are they with that?
My wife's taking it pretty hard because she thinks that... I don't know. I think when you say you have a problem with pornography, people think that you're a pervert, and you have. She's thinking the worst in her head.
Yeah. Okay, then she's got, you know, it's hard for her, and which means you're going to probably need to find some people who've been down the path. Steve writes about that in Healing Choices. Mm-hmm. You know, the different ways you go, and so you probably need people who they know this world, David. They know it's something that so many Christian guys struggle with. And so we want you to be around people not only who love you, but who know something about the path, about what needs drive this and what the strategies are for getting out of it and how to heal.
Mm-hmm. I just want to get it out of my head. I just want to.
Right. And, but it's not a just thing.
I know. I realize that.
And the problem is to get it out of your head, you've got to get out of your head.
Yeah.
See, a closed system just continues to deteriorate. And what you've got is a closed system until there's... The way to really look at it is look at your head sort of like a piece of land, and it's got a boundary to it, and there's this kind of, you know, river, and across the river is freedom and green pastures and life. But the bridge across that river is you doing James 5:16 and obeying that, confessing your faults to one another so that you may be healed. And what you're learning is that the amount of confession and maybe, you know, the people you're confessing to is good, but it's not enough. Mm-hmm. Like the bridge is too narrow. And one of the big things that opens up the system is when you get with other people who are struggling. See, it says, you know, to one another. When you get with other people who have the same problem, then you're going to be identified with. And you're going to learn, oh, I'm not the only one. I'm not a pervert. I'm not, you know, something's not, like, weird about me. I've got a problem that's common to humanity. And then the judgment goes down, and grace comes in, and then life can come in. And you begin to kind of, there's trucks coming across that bridge to take out the trash and take it all to a dump, never to be found again. But you got to make that step. And there's never been any kind of repetitive problem like that that's ever been, you know, long-term healed in a big way without that.
Yeah. All right. I hope that's helpful. Now, have you read Every Man's Battle?
Yes, I have.
All right. Let me send you a Feeding Your Appetites, and it addresses this also. Maybe that will be of help to you. And we want to tell you about the Every Man's Battle workshop. So hold on. I want to give you some information on that. You're making some choices. You need to keep going until you've made all the choices you can make that will lead to healing. And the Every Man's Battle workshop is coming up here next week, November the 3rd in Pennsylvania, while we're up at doing the Lose It for Life in Cape May. Henry, when I think of my head as a piece of land, I sometimes think of it as a vacant lot. I don't know how it feels to other people, but
hey,
that is a good...
That's awesome. A vacant lot has lots of potential. You don't have to tear anything down.
You can build on it.
You can build, you know, and you can buy it at a pretty cheap price.
So. Yeah, I think the cheap price thing, that definitely...
It depends on what the zoning is, though. What are you zoned for?
Yeah, I'm in a zone often. That is so true. Let's go to Kathy. She's calling from Colorado Springs. KGFT is the station. Hey, Kathy, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I listen to your show whenever I get a chance. My question today is that I want to find out if I think I have a healthy relationship with my ex-in-laws, but I want to find out, you know, because there's some people in my life that would agree and others that would disagree. There is a child involved.
Ex-in-laws?
Yeah, and it's my ex-husband's siblings. His parents are deceased.
Okay, help us understand the question. You want to know if you're healthy with your ex-husband's
parents,
siblings.
Yeah.
Siblings.
Not okay. Parents.
Yes.
Parents are dead. And there's a child involved.
Yes. One of his sisters actually works with me. After the fact, it wasn't prior to the divorce and stuff.
How long have you been divorced?
We've been actually separated for about 2 years. He is currently in prison.
And what might be unhealthy about your relationship? What causes the question?
Just that I know some of the people in my life that would disagree, and they also come from a different... I'm a Christian, and she's not, and a lot of the people that I work, that I go to church with, think, you know, they're like, that's cool that you have a relationship like that with your ex-sister-in-law and stuff, but I know one or two people in my life would tend to disagree, and so I'm like, okay, well, I want to get another viewpoint on this.
Disagree on what? What are they saying?
My best friend would say that I don't have a healthy relationship. She's like, well, you know, why would you even keep them in your life? And I do it because my daughter.
Let's understand this. Are they saying you shouldn't have a relationship, or are you saying it's the relationship you have is not a healthy one? Those are two different things.
Probably a combination of both. I don't know. The one person in particular in my life would say that I shouldn't have a relationship with them at all. And it's like, but there's, you know, kids involved, and she has a right to see her, you know, my daughter has a right to see her aunts and uncles, and, you know,
we would agree with all that you're doing there. So that's not a question.
And then the fact that I
unless
we work
it has some
together.
Bad fruit for the child, but go
mm-hmm.
ahead.
Right. And then the fact that we work together, one of his sisters and I.
Okay. So what's unhealthy about it? Other than somebody doesn't like it.
I think that's pretty much mostly what it is that somebody else would disagree with me. And
okay, so let me kind of rephrase your question then. You called about the relationship with, you know, it sounds like good relationship from all you're saying, with your ex-husband's siblings, right?
Mm-hmm.
What the accurate question, it seems like, would be, I have a problem making my own decisions about things that I have experienced as healthy and good for me and for my child because I fear other people's opinions.
That would be somewhat. I'm not as bad as I used to be, not nearly as bad as I used to be.
Well, you didn't call about the part that's working. You called about the part that isn't working.
True.
So let's talk about the part that isn't working, the part that's as bad as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't you just say, gosh, thanks for your opinion, but you know what? This is really, really good for my child. This is, you know, my child's aunts and uncles, and they're good friends of mine, and I disagree with you.
I pretty much have told her that. I just want to make sure that I'm on the right track in continuing to make more healthy relationships.
It seems that that's best for the child.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now, the danger, you know, would be that if this somehow... You said you're separated once, and then you said you're divorced. Which one are you?
We're not legally divorced yet. I consider myself divorced, though.
Well, I don't understand that.
That
you filed and you're waiting on the papers?
Yeah.
Okay. And why did you get divorced?
Because of his drug habits and stuff, he is also bipolar and can be very violent.
Mm, and that's why he's in prison?
Yes. And not due to actually our situation. He actually was put into a situation unrelated to us, but it is dealing with violence and his drug habit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's the danger. You know, we don't understand the whole thing about the divorce, but if you continue to have a relationship with his family, which you've decided to do for the child, what you've got to be really clear about is what this does inside of you in relation to him, because they are a symbolic connection to him.
Right.
And so if you are, you know, if you're going to move on, you've got to make sure that this symbol and whatever doesn't have threads and roots into your heart that keeps you from moving on.
Okay.
And, you know, people have to deal with that all the time because, you know, when people divorce, oftentimes they have all sorts of you know, interactions with the ex. The main one is kids, but there are others. And you just have to make sure, you know, the Bible has a great verse that says, to the pure, all things are pure, and figure out whatever connections you have with him are purely your intent before God about what you've decided to do, and that it's not a staying with him if you've decided to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Is there no hope for reconciliation?
No.
Okay.
All right, well, I hope something that we've said has been helpful to you. Let me send you Henry's book, 9 Things You Simply Must Do to Succeed in Love and Life. Hope that'll be of help to you.
I wish we had more time to understand, though, about, you know, why there isn't hope for reconciliation.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can happen.
Well, we've got to go to a break. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is T. Barkerberg from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month. And that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, and your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go back to the phones, and let's talk to Laurel. She's calling from Haymarket, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hey, Laurel, welcome to New Life.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been listening to y'all for many years, and I love your show. I got several of your books.
Well, thank you. Glad for that. What's your question today?
Okay, my question's about my little girl. She just turned 5 last week, and about 6 months ago, she had a really rough day. My parents were visiting, it was hectic, and she kind of had a meltdown. We happened to be at a party at Chuck E. Cheese, and she just all of a sudden she couldn't breathe, she was crying, she was hysterical, and it wasn't like her at all. She's really an outgoing, confident little girl. And ever since then, she has had this situation where she feels like she can't breathe at times, and you know, and even just every day when we go from room to room in the house, she'll try and catch her air and bring it with her. And
are those situations accompanied by stress or fear or sadness or being mad or frustration or anything, or is it just kind of out of the blue?
Well, I think initially it was, because I realized that I thought, well, maybe her life's too hectic. Mm. And so I slowed things down, and I said, you know, what had happened is I'd quit my job in December 2003. And as a result, I was now home full-time with the kids for the first time in her life and my other two. And I think I tried to do too much at first.
Are you a single mom?
Oh, let's enroll in this and let's do that.
Are you a single
mom? So I slowed everything down. I thought, well, you know, maybe I'm overwhelming her.
Excuse me.
But she still does this now.
Can you not hear us?
Can you hear us?
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, yeah, I just had a question I wanted to clarify. Are you a single mom?
No. My husband, I'm married.
All right, and she's 5 or 6, and you've got other kids too.
Yeah, she's in the middle.
Okay.
She has an older brother and a younger brother.
All righty.
So what scared her?
I think we just had, she was actually, the first time it happened, she was in the Chuck E. Cheese Jungle Gym.
Right.
She said she's, you know, had been up in many of those, and this was the first time, and she said she couldn't breathe up there.
The Jungle Gym's kind of claustrophobic. It kind of, it's these big tubes, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
But now it happens just any time, in fact, almost constantly. I mean, she does it all the time. Even just when she's happy as can be, she's a very sensitive girl. She's real tender-hearted. You know, the littlest thing can worry her or concern her. She also worries things will go down the drain. When we were at the Outer Banks about a month ago, she started just freaking out that all the shells were going to get washed out to sea and started trying to pick them all up.
Was this before or after Chuck E. Cheese?
After.
Hmm. After. And there was none of this before that?
No.
Okay. Hmm. Well, one of the things about panic disorder that we know, you know, when you treat panic disorder in adults, what happens is one of the ways to look at it, and there's a lot of different things that can cause it, but one of the ways to look at it is that people learn to overinterpret, you know, sensations like little fears or feelings or this, that, and the other, and then they begin to get down this kind of catastrophizing path.
Okay.
Where they start to really worry, and they kind of start to be able to work themselves up into sort of a panic. And, you know, even though she's a child, you're kind of describing that pattern that something will start, and then she'll start to focus on it, and then it'll kind of escalate.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the easy, you know, the least intrusive intervention would be a couple of things. One is she open to playing on the Jungle Gym again?
Yeah, in fact, she has at like McDonald's and things of that, you know, places similar, and she's been fine playing on them.
She's been okay. So she might have just learned to be panicky and learned to generalize it and learned to worry about it.
Yes,
and
that sounds right.
You know, a good thing to try, and it may or may not work, but a good thing to try is to, when she starts to do this, just to sit down with her, you know, and kind of talk her through it. Say, okay, just breathe here. Watch mommy breathe. Breathe with me and let her focus on breathing and tell me what you're thinking and just say, oh, that's scary. Well, let's think something else. And you kind of retrain her to be relaxed even when there's sensations that she would escalate over.
Okay.
And just calm her down, and then tell her when you have a scary thought, that's okay. You can give her a Bible verse or something else to think on. And what you may be able to do is interrupt this cycle and teach her to kind of not catastrophize and just to breathe and everything's okay and we don't have to worry about that. And then your ability to soothe becomes a self-soothing thing that she internalizes. If that doesn't work, what I would do is I would take her to a good child psychologist to kind of, you know, interrupt this before she really learns how to do it and has panic disorders later. And the other thing I do is look at her larger context of her life to find out what else may be contributing to this.
Okay. Especially in terms of making her own decisions that might be against you, aggression, kind of like having her own opinions, anger, those sorts of things. That often is part of it.
Or has she had massive changes in her life in the last year or so? Have there been structural changes?
Well, other than me being home now and her having a younger brother.
Find out what all that means to her.
Yeah.
We'll be back right after this.
We appreciate your faithful support of this program. To give a tax-deductible gift of support or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back with New Life Live after this. Come sail with New Life Ministries in Alaska, July 13th through the 20th.
I went on my own. Had never done a trip by myself before, so I was apprehensive. So if you think, oh, I don't have anybody that would want to go with me on this, trust me, you are going to find plenty of friends when you get there.
We'll depart on the Island Princess southbound from Anchorage, cruising by Hubbard Glacier to Glacier Bay National Park, and then stopping in Skagway, Juneau, Ketchikan, and ending in Vancouver.
I connected with God in a way that I had never imagined.
We'll start each morning with devotions. Then we'll explore each port, returning in the evening for fellowship and teaching from God's Word.
The teaching, every day, just getting together with everyone, getting to know everybody in the group. The whale watching was amazing. Kayaking, zip lining, so many fun times and memories I have.
To register or to find out more, call 888-770-6898, extension 103, or go to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. All right, let's go to Brandy. She's calling from Fairfax, Virginia, listens to WAVA. Hi, Brandy.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
There you go. Okay. My question is, I've become a newborn Christian, and this is after, like,
cool.
20 years' experience with an alcoholic father, and now I'm trying to figure out how I can have a relationship with him, because I need to fix that in my life.
Hmm. How old are you? How old are you?
Hmm.
You still there?
Might have been on a cell phone that went away.
Brandy, well, that is, can you hear us?
Well, she's probably on a cell phone. That,
but you know what?
Okay. Maybe she's still listening.
There's, she gave us enough
to
provide some sort of path. It was Candy, right?
Brandy.
Close. Sorry, Brandy.
Yeah. Actually, she gave us enough to where we can actually give an answer that's right, because even if it's wrong, she can't tell us it doesn't.
True. Yeah.
So
that's
we
right.
finally get to be right once.
Yeah.
Well, first, I mean, it's great that you want to repair what's broken in the relationship. But the simple answer is now you have a new life that means something and that is connected to God. And as much as possible, you want to grow and heal and transform to be the best friend and daughter that he could have, where you learn to have empathy for him and compassion for him, yet to have, you know, certain requirements on relationships that, you know, there can't be bad things happening and that sort of thing. But I would just jump into my growth, and then I would approach him and say, I'd like to have a relationship, And we have had a hard time, and I'm ready to talk about it and forgive and reconcile, and I want to be part of that with you. And then see what he says. And many times when a person comes to somebody else who has been difficult like that, the first thing they hear is the grace and the invitation to the relationship. Many times that opens them up. I would start there.
Brandy, did I find you again?
Yeah.
No, hi there. Did you hear that answer from John?
I'm listening to it right now.
You're listening to it right now?
Some kind of a delay.
Kind of a delay.
Are you hearing it on the radio?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you turn your radio off and see if you can just talk to us directly?
Okay.
Unless you're talking through the radio, and that's something we really don't understand.
Yeah, that's like what I'm thinking about with the whole dealing with my situation. But every time I get around him, I go back into the same like anxieties that I have gotten.
How old are you, Brandy?
I'm 21.
21. Okay. Yeah. And do you live with him?
No, I finally moved away from him.
Okay. Is he still drinking or is he in recovery?
Heavily. Still drinking.
Okay, so he's still the problem dad that you always had.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, one of the cool things, and we're so happy that you have joined the family.
That's really cool.
Oh, yeah.
when did you become a Christian?
February 26th.
February 26th, that's cool. Are you in a good church?
Excellent church. I go to McLean Bible Church in Fairfax, Virginia.
Oh, that's
love that church.
We speak there all the time.
Great church. Are you in a small group there?
Yes. I work with Time to Fly. It's industries, or what would you call it? A group through McLean. It's excellent.
All right. I think that, you know, similar to some of the things John said, the most important thing that you can do first is to get very, very grounded in that community and in your friends and in your faith and just really, 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 really receive right now. You know, the Bible says we start out, you know, we're born again, so we're starting out in infancy.
Yeah.
So your best thing is to just get fat with all that good milk, you know? And so you're so filled up, and then you can talk to them. Talk to some good people back there about what goes on with your dad so that these anxieties and all of that can come out with people who can actually love you out of them and strengthen you. And then dealing with him would be further down the list. And, you know, it's just because you got to get strong first. But like John said, give him grace. Tell him you want to be his friend. But don't get pulled into the alcoholic patterns and say, you know, when he's drunk, you got to leave and stuff like that.
And I sure would drop by an Al-Anon meeting every now and then. And
yep.
You might. I have. My
Is that helpful to you?
His father has taken me to AA and Al-Anon, and I've done a whole bunch of that.
You know what else? We got Henry and I wrote a book called Boundaries Face-to-Face, where you learn how to have healthy conversations with people. There's a lot of role playing in there that you might want to look at. We'll send you a copy of that so that you can, you know, with your supportive people say, what if he says this or what if it's scary? So you can go through the anxiety with people that love you and support you. We'll send you that.
Okay.
Any hope of his going into treatment?
Oh, I wish. I hope.
Has the family ever tried?
My dad is very thick-headed. He's the most thick-headed person I've ever met.
Never met a thin-headed alcoholic.
Nope.
No.
But they can't. But what you got to have is enough pressure around them, and that's what Al-Anon could help you with. Enough pressure around them with the people that have leverage to get through the thick head.
Yeah.
But that comes after you get strong.
Well, that's good to hear, because I've had a lot of people keep telling me that I'm supposed to face this right now, and I can't. And that's what I really wanted to hear from you guys.
Why would they say that?
I've had a lot of people say that I'm not going to get better anytime soon if I don't face my problem with my dad now.
Let's reverse that. You'll face your problems with your dad as you get better.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good way to say it.
Well, that's what the Bible says. We start out, you know, when God was delivering the children of Israel,
Mm-hmm.
And there was a promised land out there, and there's a symbol in that for all of us, that there's a promised land of all the things that he secured for us in life, in the life ever after. And they went in, and they went in, and they just wanted to take it all, and he said, no, you can't have it all today.
Yeah.
You've got to go a little at a time. And the reason was, he said, that there was the danger of you're not ready to fight the bigger battles and to handle all of the rest of it. It's one step at a time.
Yeah.
And God didn't send Peter out there to be the rock of the church while he was still weak. And he didn't send Paul out there to evangelize the whole world until he had 14 years, is what they say.
I think about Moses a lot, where he was supposed to go out when he was like in his 20s, but God sent him back for like 20 more years after he killed that person. Like, really get himself where he needed to be before he...
Needed a little healing.
I think
healing.
About that a lot.
That sort of argues against the quick fix. Huh? If God's a therapist and it takes a long time.
Yeah.
It does.
Well, we're so glad that you called, and I want you to hold on. I'm going to send you our resource this week, Finishing Well by Bob Buford. It's a great book of wisdom. I hope that'll be of help to you. And I'll send you the 7 Keys to Spiritual Renewal. I think that'll help you as you begin your growth there. And also, just to complete the library, Boundaries Face to Face that John was talking about. All right, let's go to Orlando, Florida. I believe the name is B. Listens to WTLN. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. I had a question. I was born a male, and I had gender reassignment, and I have not lived in any sin as a result of it, but I got a lot of problems with the body of Christ in some of the places here, and I just wanted to know how you felt. I mean, under the law, I'm legally female, but I just, you know, they've ever since I got this problem with the people, I've had this problem with my head now. You know,
You would expect to have a little bit of problem, though, wouldn't you? I mean, it's not something that's usual, you know. I mean, you couldn't...
Yeah, but not a whole church, you know.
Right.
Practically the whole church
right.
Where I was, and I was really crushed.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll try to give you some help, okay?
Thank you.
All right, we're glad that you called. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number to call. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, and Stephen Arterburn here. Our resource, Finishing Well, by Bob Buford, and those that support the ministry, Every Heart Restored. Fred and Brenda Stoker's newest book for those who are married to someone involved in sexual sin. We'll take a break. Come back right after.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. Today's program has been pre-recorded. If you'd like to make a donation or register for an upcoming workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I'd found the pornography on the computer. He had been signing up for a number of dating and sex solicitation websites.
The Women in the Battle workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues.
I didn't know anything about sexual addiction or the recovery process or anything, and one of the resources I found was Dr. Sherry Keffer talking about what it was like to go through the trauma from someone else's sexual addiction or betrayal, and I knew I'd found the right place.
Join Dr. Sherry Keffer June 24th through the 26th in Dallas, Texas.
As soon as I got there, it was a very welcoming, safe environment.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Women in the Battle was hands down the most productive, effective, and helpful workshop I've ever been through.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We are back. Stephen Arterburn here, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Klauber, talking to B, who is has had a sex operation and is now female. Now, B, what happened in this church? You say the whole church went against you.
Well,
what happened?
Yeah, I would. They wanted me to live as a male,
mm-hmm.
and they were just their countenance was against me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't fit in. I didn't fit in. There were a handful of people there that were very kind.
Yeah,
you know, to me, but I wasn't permitted to use, I was forced to use the men's room, which was really strange.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a, you know, it was weird.
But, B, I'm just curious, before you had this change, didn't someone tell you that these were going to be some of the things that were going to happen, that people would have problems, and that there would be all sorts of scenarios that were going to
be quite
strange.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So you weren't totally shocked at...
I was hurt.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and so your question for us is... Well, oh, and you say that you're not...
Am I a male? Am I a female?
Hmm.
Under the laws of the land that we abide under.
Well,
I thought you said that you were...
Yeah, I thought you changed it.
You said you were legal.
I did.
Well, then...
But they kept telling me I'm male.
Well
they caused a lot of psychological problems. I was fine until I went to church.
Yeah. Well, where are you with God?
Well, right now, I'm being discipled by my dad and the Lord. I have no sexual sin. I'm a virgin. You know, I'm walking in the Lord. I know I'm probably considered backward as a student in the Lord. I should be a little more, have more growth. But as far as sexually or as my walk in the Lord, I'm doing the best the Holy Spirit has given me and the mm-hmm. grace that I've been given.
And how old are you?
I'm 50.
You're 50?
Yeah.
You know what I would suggest you do? I would suggest that you connect with one of the groups, one of the Christian groups that predominantly deals with people with sexual orientation and related issues, like Desert Stream, Exodus International, and one of them, because I think that they will much more understand your struggle than it sounds like, you know, where you've been.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a struggle. You know, I think of a passage where Jesus talked about that there are some very, very, very difficult scenarios where he says that that some people were made eunuchs, is the term
mm-hmm.
that he uses, for a variety of reasons. It says that some, you know, the world made them this way, that bad things happen. And it says that some became eunuchs or gave up, you know, sort of surrendered sexuality and all of that for the sake of the kingdom. And I think what you've got to do is, before you kind of resolve this kind of community and the hurt issue, I think you've got to get really, really first grounded in your relationship with God to where you are so sure of His love that whatever He leads you to do to resolve this, that you can surrender to it because you know His love and that He would only want the best for you. And it sounds like some things in community have kind of disrupted that path, and I would want you to be in community that you first feel that first, and then you can kind of figure out this problem. That'd be my suggestion.
Well, I hope that's helpful to you, and appreciate that answer there, Henry. And let me send you a copy of Changes That Heal and How People Grow. I think those are two books that might be a blessing to you. And we'll pray that along the way you'll find truth and you'll find a place where people understand you. They will fellowship with you. And we'll pray for you. And we're really glad that you phoned us here at New Life Live. Anybody else interested in getting some help or resources, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. When we were in Dallas, we asked the folks there to help us with our campaign to really fund our call center. And on that day, we raised $13,000 for the call center. And we are so grateful for that. We really do need your support. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, and we would never want to manipulate anybody into giving. We would only want to tell you there is a need here, and if the Lord is leading you that direction, we sure would appreciate it if you'd support us.
You know, since we were in Dallas, I got a chance to talk to some of the call center people because that's where the call center is.
And
they're just phenomenal.
They are.
I mean, they don't regard it just as like something they do. They want to get trained. They like remember people. They want to find out how they can help. They are just out there as part of their calling. They're just really good people.
They really are. Thank you, John. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If the Lord's leading you to support us, you know, $100,000 a month is what it costs us. We could farm that out, I guess, but it really is important that we be there with a message of hope and healing for whatever is troubling a person. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you about the book by Bob Buford, Finishing Well. If you support us, we send you the gift, Every Heart Restored, by Fred and Brenda Stoker. Our free tips today, 12 steps of awareness on the path of spiritual growth. Check out the new website. It really is a beautiful site. So much more improved over what was there before. Look at the resources. Hope that you can support us by getting resources from that site. As we close out the program today, Henry, would you share some of God's wisdom from His Word?
Steve, one of the hardest things to do in life is to hold on to a picture of God as loving and able when everything around you is bad.
Mm, so true.
And, you know, one of the gifts, I think, of being able to do the kind of work we do is we do get to see people, you know, when things go badly and in devastation, we get to see the whole picture and
right.
not just that day. And as they're faithful with God and continue to believe, we get to see the end of the story where He brings about resurrection out of every death. Whatever it is that somebody goes through, it might be a loss of a loved one. It might be a divorce. It might be an addiction. You know, it might be financial ruin. But what we see is those who stick with Him realize the truth of this passage, and it's out of Lamentations, and it just follows awful, awful, awful things, you know, all the bad things that are happening. And He says this, "The unfailing love of the Lord never ends." And what He says is that the thought of my suffering and the homelessness is bitter beyond words, and I'll never forget this awful time, but by His mercies, we've been kept from complete destruction. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every day. The Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in Him no matter how bad it is.
Well, I hope that's an encouragement to you if you've been struggling. Hey, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to give you some help. God bless you. We love you. Thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.